Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Nun, and we will begin on Daf Mem Tesem Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah said, "Kamasei b'chol kach masei b'shabbos." Our Mishnah discussed the halachas of Nisach Hamayim and said that just like during the week, we did Nisach Hamayim, so too that they do on Shabbos. But the only difference was, as we learned in our Mishnah, they would gather the water for the Nisach HaMayim from the Shiloach. So that would obviously involve carrying it from the Shiloach to the Beis HaMikdash, which may not be done on Shabbos. So that's why they prepared the water from Erev Shabbos. But the Mishnah also included that when they filled it up with water from Erev Shabbos, they specifically filled it up in a keli that wasn't Kodesh. Because were you to fill it up in a keli that was Kodesh, then it would become possible. The water would become possible with Lina if it would be in that keli overnight. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, why is it necessary to bring a keli which is not Kodesh? Ask the Gemara, Naisi b'mukadeshes, bring a keli which is Kodesh, and have in mind that it should only become Kodesh tomorrow. That's one option. Or another option, the Gemara is asking, is put in more water than you actually need. And if you put in more water than you actually need, then you're going to have a situation that not all the water is needed. And if not all the water is needed, then the keli is not mekadesh that water. And if it's not mekadesh that water, it's not mekadesh any water. Because the keli only can be mekadesh water that needs to become kadesh. I'm a Ziri. So Ziri says, Kesavar, the Tan of our Mishnah did not offer that option because he holds Ein Shir L'mayim. There's no amount of water that you need to use for Nisach HaMayim. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that there's no maximum. So as much water as you put in, that's much water that could be used for Nisach HaMayim. And that's why you can't say, well, I didn't mean to use it for, I don't need it for Nisach HaMayim. It's more than I need. Taisva says that the man da'amah who holds Ein Shir L'mayim holds in both directions. According to Rashi's interpretation, this man da'amah will agree that there is a minimum shir. He's just not going to agree that there is a maximum shir. But according to way Tosfos learns, this man da'amah is going to hold Ein Shir L'mayim. There is no minimum shir and there is no maximum shir. And if that's the case, that can't be used as the way to understand that I put in more water than I need. And furthermore, saying that I don't want the keli shoris to be mekanish this water won't work either, because the Tan of our Mishnah says, holds kli shoris mekachin shloim das, that even if you didn't have intention that what you put into it should become kaddish, it becomes kaddish no matter what. So therefore, we go back to, as we explained, imaisim mekadeshes, if they're going to leave that water in a keli which is kaddish, if slubalina, then it's going to remain in that keli overnight. It's going to become possible because of lina and will not be usable the next day for Nisach HaMayim. Chizki has a different way of understanding our Mishnah. He indeed agrees that kli shoris ein mekadeshim ela midas. You have to have kavana that what you put into the keli should become kaddish. And if you don't have that kavana, it's not going to become kaddish. But so if that's the case, just don't have kavana that the water that you're putting in should become kaddish. But here is a new concern. Shema yomru ladas niskachu. People are going to see that there was water in the keli. People are not going to realize that there was no das. They're going to assume that there was das. And if they're going to assume there was das, they're going to assume that the fact that it was in the keli doesn't make a difference. And that's why everybody agrees that when there's das, the keli becomes kaddish, and that's why the keli makes what's in kaddish, and there's no way of people to know that you didn't have das, that what should become in it is kaddish. The Rishonim explain, Rashi explains, from where do we know this concept that if you put something in the kli shoris, it becomes kaddish? So he says, the pasuk says, kol anegei bem yigdosh, that anything that is in a keli touches kaddish becomes kaddish. So Rav Chaner says that the Gemara says in many places in Shas, particularly in Masechta Menachos, that if something is left on Rosh HaMizbeach, if something is left on the Mizbeach, it doesn't become pasul with lina. So asked Aruch HaNer, why don't we just leave this keli on the mizbeach, and that will prevent it from becoming pasul with lina. So the Aruch HaNer says that we wouldn't want to do so, because we even learned in our previous year how concerned they were that the water that they use for Nisach HaMayim should not become black. And leaving it on top of the Kli Sharis is a great way for that water to become black. The David Misharim, the Chibina Rav and the Shalos Chuvis, David Misharim says that this, in Chelik Aleph Simon Kufov, says this halacha, that something that's left on the Mizbeach doesn't become possible with Lina, says the Chibina Rav, is only b'diyevid. L'chatchila, we certainly don't want to rely on that type of a situation, and that's why the Gemara didn't offer that as an option. Amar, now the Gemara offers another way of understanding our Mishnah. Amar Yanai, Amar Zera, afilu temi yeshir l'mayim, even if you'll say that the Tan of our Mishnah holds that there is a specific shear, and therefore you could put in more than that and prevent the problem, and he will also hold the gam the klisharis emakachin el medas. He'll also say that only if you have intention that the klisharis should be makadish, what's in it does it become kodesh. So if that's the case, just put in more water and don't have any intention that it should become kodesh. Says the Gemara, here there's a different concern. Somebody's going to assume that what did he use this keli for? For kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. They're not going to realize that that was being filled up for nisach hamayim. They're going to assume that's being filled up for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And even though we learned the Masech the Yuma that the way kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is typically performed, it's from the kiyor. But we also learned the Masech the Yuma and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol did kiddush yadayim v'raglayim not from the kiyor but from a kitan shel zav, from a golden pitcher, and it was a kli sharis that they used. And therefore, explains Rashi, according to Rabbi Yanai Amar Rabbi Zeira, Chachamim were concerned that when somebody is going to see the water in the vessel, they're going to say that it's being separated to be used for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim for the Kohen Gadol. And then when they see, and then when they're going to see that it's actually being used for nisach hamayim, they're going to assume that lina doesn't passel, because if it would have been used for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, where there is no minimum of water, it would become passel. The basis of this whole explanation is that we could use a kitan shel zav to, number one, as we said, there's no shear, there's no amount of water, no specific amount of water that we use for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And number two, that you could do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim not only on Yom Kippur out of a kitan shel zav, but any time of the year it could be done out of a keli shel zav. We learned further in the Mishnah, Nishpacha, if the water got spilled out, the water that we prepared for Shabbos in the keli that wasn't kodesh spilled, or in the skalsa was left open, and there's a concern whenever you have a liquid beverage left open that maybe a snake drank from it. And as Rashi, as we said in our previous year, explained that we then have to be concerned that the snake venom is taking up part of the water and we have to have a shear of the water. That's why we learned that we can't use that water for nisach hamayim. And now what water will we use? Because we can't bring water from the shiloyach, it's Shabbos, it can't be carried. We'll bring water from the kiyoy. Ask the Gemara, why can't we use that water? V'may, leva mesanenes. Why don't we have the water go through a sift, a filter, a sieve? Leva mesanisa like a chananya. So we say that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of a chananya. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us mesanenes. If you have a filter, and wine went through the filter, the wine is still usur because of gilui, even though it was filtered, and if there would be any snake venom in it, would be removed. When do we have this concern? When we have the bottom barrel of wine open. And that's why we have to be concerned that the snake went right into that barrel. Avos mancha tachtonim is chusa. If the bottom one is covered, af bishal yonim megula. Even though the upper barrel is open, ein b'mishum giloi. We don't need to be concerned that it was left open. Nisha eres nachish doim l'sfug. The snake venom is like a sponge tzof that remains on the top. And oim b'kaimai. So why is the Gemara so quick to say that it's certainly not acceptable? We could say that we'll use it, we'll take it through a sifter, and it wouldn't be a problem. So the Chazon Ish says, isn't it usur to do sifting on Shabbos? Isn't that boirer? So why does the Gemara give this advice to do it through sifting? So the Chazon Ish says that the only time sifting is usur is when I want to separate what's on top from on bottom. Here, we don't even know that there's anything on the top. And therefore, since we don't know that there's anything on top, and we're certainly not interested in the snake venom, there is no problem of sifting on Shabbos. So, why is there a problem? Answers the Gemara, Afilo Taimer of Nehemiah. Even Rav Nehemiah, who says that sifting is an option, he'll agree that in our Mishnah it isn't. Because Eimadam Rav Nehemiah, when Rav Nehemiah says sifting is an option, Lehejit, that if there's a cup that had in it wine, and there's a concern that a snake drank from it, so sifting will solve your problem. Avil Gvoya, here we're talking about that we want to use this for Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach. Mi Omar, would Reb Nechemya say that you could use such water, wine, for Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayim? Says the Gemara, for less story of Nechemya, would Reb Nechemya not agree that the Pasuk says in Malachi, Hakriveu nol fachasecha, hayirtzecha yisa panecha oma Hashem tzavakos, that's not the kind of water or wine that one would bring to Avodah Zarah. But since it's not the kind of water or wine that one would bring to Avodah Zarah, you wouldn't bring that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you could sift it out. And therefore, that's the reason that even if it turns out, the Sfasema says, that there was never any snake venom in it, the fact that it was used that way, that it was left, and it has this deficiency, prevents us from using this. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud Beis, says that if you have oil, and you find a mouse in that oil, and they used to light candles in the shul, they used to light oil candles in the shul, says the Shulchan Aruch, you would not be allowed to use such candles, such oil, for lighting in your shul. For the same concept, would the Akum light such candles in their base of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Asur. Hanulach Alulav Arava, Hanulach Lulav Arava, Hanulach Lulav Arava. Teaches us the Mishnah Chalil. They used to play on a flute in the Beis HaMikdash, on Sukkos, with a Chalil. Chamisha, it was, sometimes they played for 5 days, and sometimes Shisha, and sometimes for 6 days. And as the Rishonim point out, they certainly, the Rama makes this point, they used different instruments, but the main instrument that was used was the flute, and that's why the Mishnah focuses on the flute. The Meiri says that maybe when they played an instrument by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, as we're going to speak, they used all types of instruments. But when they used an instrument for bringing a carbon, there it had to be an instrument that was a flute. Says the Mishnah, Zeh Chalil Beis Shoeva. This was the Chalil that was used on the base for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. As we've learned in the previous parak, that every day of Sukkos, they used to bring water from the Shilayach, and they used to pour out water on the Mizbeach when they brought the Karbon Tumah Shel Shachar, besides that they also, of course, did Nisach HaYayin, that they do every time they bring a carbon. So because of this, as respect to this, they used to sing and dance and play instruments. That's the way Rashi explains the Mishnah. The Pasuk says, we quoted this Pasuk in our previous year, Ushaftem Mayim Besoson, and since the Torah says, Ushaftem Mayim Besoson, it's the whole avoid of Shiva Samayim was done with Simcha. However, the Rambam, and this is the way the Brisker Rav explains, says that the Simchas Beis Shoeva was not connected to the Nisach HaMayim. Rather, the Rambam holds that the Simchas Beis Shoeva, the Pasuk says regarding Yom Tov Sukkos, the Samachtam Lufnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. So the Torah tells us that there's a special point to be besimcha on Sukkos, and the way, and therefore they played instruments to achieve that simcha. Because, says the Mishnah, that even though we just explained how important it was to them to play instruments, still ain't a doicha loisa Shabbos loisa Yontif. And therefore, if the first day of Sukkos was on Shabbos, so then they would only have 6 days, they would have the next days of Sukkos to play the Chalil. If the first day of Yontif was during the week, so on Yontif they don't play instruments, and they also don't play instruments on Shabbos, so it would be 7 minus 2, and we would be left just what, 5 days. Why weren't they allowed to play the Chalil on Shabbos of Yontif? Because there's a gzeira, as we're going to learn in Masechta Beya. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this in Siman Shin Lamates Sivkat and Zayin, that we're concerned that they may come to fix the instrument if it breaks. And of course, the Mefarshim will ask that we've learned Ein Shvus Migdash, that in the Beis HaMikdash we're not concerned about the Rabbanans. And now we're learning that this is a Rabbanan. So why should we be concerned? So the Rishonim explain, that the Tosfos, the Ramaskos She'enu explains, that since the playing of the instrument is not essential to the mitzvah, since it's not essential to the mitzvah, we don't apply the rule of Ein Shvus V'Migdash. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is because they always played with instruments. And if they're going to always play with instruments, there's a great concern that it's going to break and we may come to fix it. Or another way of understanding this is because they had so many instruments. They used so many instruments by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, it's inevitable that at least one of them is going to break. And if at least one of them is going to break, we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned that somebody's going to chas v'shalom fix it, which of course is asur on Shabbos or Yontif. Says Rashi earlier in the Masechta that even though they didn't play by the Simchas Beis Shoeva on Shabbos and Yontif with instruments, that doesn't mean they didn't have a Simchas Beis Shoeva. They of course had a Simchas Beis Shoeva. They just didn't play with instruments. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Reish Samach Aleph Sif Beis quotes the Sefer Yisod Yisharei Shavoida, and he says Chasidim v'Anshei Maisa did even Bezman Azeh make a zecher to the Simchas Beis Shoeva, and they're up the entire night and they sing and they dance and they say Zmiris v'Shishbachos to Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Sukkah, commemorating what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, as we just learned about the Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Shaar Ephraim in the Shaal Zetshuva Siman Lamed Vav discusses if one is allowed to play a musical instrument on Chol HaMoed. And he wants to suggest that it should be usur. Because our Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed, they allowed you to play the instruments because of Simchas Beis Shoeva, even though they didn't allow you to play it on Shabbos and Yontif. So Shaar Ephraim wants to say that it seems that our Mishnah is coming to teach us that really we shouldn't be allowed to play even on Shabbos and Yontif either, on Chol HaMoed either. But because of the Simchas Beis Shoeva, that's why they made a special dispensation on a Chol HaMoed they should play. But most Paiskim, in fact, the Shaar Tshuva and Or HaChaim Siman Tuf Kuf Lamed Daled quotes the Shaar Tshuva Sus Yaakov Siman Chav Hei that say they disagree with the Shaar Ephraim and say that under all circumstances musical instruments may be played on Chol HaMoed. The Mashah explains why was there such a point. According to Rashi, the Simcha on Sukkos is connected to Simchas Beis Shoeva, which connected to the Nisach HaMayim. So, and as the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph points out, says the Mishnah, that the Gemara says Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to us Nischu Lefanei Mayim Bechag. Do nisach hamayim on Sukkos, kidei shiyizborchu lachem gishmei hashana. So the rain of the year should be blessed. So I saw that that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked that the reason we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the Gemara also in Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that the world is being judged, and if the world is being judged, is that the time to say Hallel? So if anything, as they asked Reb Chaim, this is the time to be of concern. The Mayim represents, as we've said in the previous year, Mayim represents Panosa. And shouldn't they be concerned that they should have Panosa and that they're being judged about their Panosa? And why are they singing and dancing? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, since Sukkos follows right after Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, we're confident that we had Mechilas Avonos, and we know that the Medrash says in Parashas Emor that when Klal Yisrael walk on Sukkos with the Dalaminim, it's a sign that they prevailed in the when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them on Yom Kippur. So yes, normally when we go into judgment, normally when we go into Rosh Hashanah, we have to be concerned, will we succeed in our judgment or not? But on Sukkos, when we're being judged about the water, we could be confident that we have nothing to be worried about, that we will come out fine. And that's why, even though it's a time of judgment, we could sing and dance on Sukkos. Begins the Gemara. Itmar. So there's a machloikus amaroim. What is the proper wording of our Mishnah? Rav Yehuda v'Rav Eina. Chatani, one says that the reason it's called is Shoeva. V'chatani, and the other mandama says that the proper wording is Cheshuva. Says the Gemara, Amar Mazutra. Teaches us Mazutra. Mandatani Sheva Lo Mishtabish. The one that says that it should be called Shoeva is not making a mistake. Or Mandatani Cheshuva, and the one that calls it important, also Lo Mishtabish. Both explanations could be understood. Mandatani Sheva Lo Mishtabish, because we see the Pasuk says, Ushaftim Mayim B'Simcha, and as we quoted Rashi in the Mishnah, when they filled up the water, it was a time of tremendous simcha. The Yerushalmi says that when they did Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and they came to a tremendous madrega of simcha, when Klal Yisrael come to simcha, that's when they come to Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which was done by simcha, represents when Klal Yisrael comes to a very high madrega, and that's why it's a tremendous simcha. So I saw that the Imri Emes asks, yes, there is a mitzvah, and it's part of the mitzvah that we've been discussing, to gather the water from the Shiloyach to do Nisach HaMayim. But isn't the primary mitzvah, asked the Imri Emes, the actual Nisach HaMayim? So why is the mitzvah and the simcha attributed to the simcha space, to the base, to the sheva, to the drawing of the water, why is it not attributed to the actual mitzvah? So the Imri Emes said, from here we learn a very important lesson. The preparation to a mitzvah is as important as the actual mitzvah. The Shivas HaMayim, the drawing of the water, is the preparation to the mitzvah. And since it's the preparation to the mitzvah, it's considered extremely important. Says the Gemara, Oman Tani Cheshuva, and the mandama that says that the right wording in our Mishnah is Cheshuva, also Lo Mishtabish, is not making an error. Dorav Nachman, Mitzvah Cheshuva Hi, the Mitzvah Nisach HaMayim is very important. Uva, as we spoke in our previous year, that it was already here, Mishesh Shemei Breishas, the Shitin on the Mizbeach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for when He created the world for that purpose, for the Nisach HaMayim and the Nisach HaYayin. And in fact, I saw that it was more for the Nisach HaMayim, and it's also used for the Nisach HaYayin, and therefore, since it's used that for the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos, that's why it's considered so very special. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained why is this so important. It says in the Zohar that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Mayim HaTachtoinim, the water in the oceans of this world, cried in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lufnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, they said to Hashem, Anan bi'inon lemehevi kodemalka. We also want to be next to Hashem. Why is only the water in the sky have the schus, the privilege of being next to you? Why can't we have the same privilege as well? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll make it up to you. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it up to us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it up to the water by the Nisach HaMayim. So because that's when that request is being fulfilled, that's why it's considered a mitzvah chshuva that goes back, as the Gemara just said, to the Sheish Shmei Bereishis, when Kaviyachol, the water had this dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, HaChalil Doichas HaShabbos, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to play the flute even on Shabbos. V'cham Ma'imrim, Af Yontif and a Doicha. Certainly it's not Doicha Shabbos, but it's even not Doicha Yontif, which we always know is less serious when it comes to doing Melacha than Shabbos. Yontif, we're allowed to do Oichel Nefesh. Shabbos, we're not allowed to do Oichel Nefesh. So if we're allowed to, so it's not even Doicha Yontif, and it's certainly not Doicha Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, Machloikis, this Machloikis, if playing the flute is Doicha Shabbos, it be Shir Shal Karbon. As we said, when they brought the carbon, Tamid, they brought along with it Nisach HaYayin, and they used to have to play, and they played the instrument at that point. The Rabbi Yosef Sover, Rabbi Yosef's opinion is, Ikishir B'Keli. The way to fulfill that mitzvah is by playing a Keli. And therefore, it's Avaydihi. Playing the instrument is part of the Avaydah, and just like of the bringing the carbon. And just like the Halach is that the carbon is Doicha Shabbos, this too is Doicha Shabbos. The playing of the instrument is Doicha Shabbos. Whereas Rabbanan Savri, Ikishir B'Peh, the main Shira is with singing, and therefore playing an instrument, lav avoidah, is not considered an essential avoidah. And since it's not considered an essential avoidah, ain't a doichas Shabbos, you can't be mechal Shabbos for it. Aval, says the Gemara, shir shel sheva, the shir that we're discussing in our sugya, the simchas beis sheva, ledivrei hakol simchahi, it only is to get enjoyment, not that it's a required mitzvah, and therefore even Rabbi Yossi will agree, like we learned in our Mishnah, then in Doichas Shabbos, you would not be allowed to play the flute with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Shabbos or even Yontif. Am Rabbi Yosef, Menah Amin the Baha Pligi, what makes me say that the Machloikas of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is around the issue, is Ikashir B'Keli, or is Ikashira B'Peh, the Tanya. The Braisa teaches us, Kli Sharis, the Kli Sharis that the Kohanim use in the Beis HaMikdash, Sha'os and Shalates, if they were made out of wood, not out of metal, as the Torah tells us that they should be made out of metal, silver or gold or copper. Rebbe Paisel, Rebbe says that such klisheres would be possible. Rebbe Yehuda Machshir, and he says it's fine, that they're acceptable by the Evid. Says the Gemara, Maila Bakimufki, what is the basis of this machlokes? The man, the Machshir, the one that says that if they were made out of wood, they're fine. Savi ikashir b'keli. You have to have shira, as we just learned with a keli. And we know that the instrument that Moshe Rabbeinu made was made out of wood. It was called an avuva. It's a type of flute that has a very sweet sound, and it was made out of wood. As we're going to see, it only can be made of wood. So we see that a kli sharis for music can be made out of wood. Man the apostle, the one that says if it's made out of wood is not acceptable. Sav ikashir b'peh. We have to have shira in the base of Migdash b'peh. And therefore, the fact that the flute that Moshe Rabbeinu made and used was made out of wood doesn't bother me. Because what was it used for? Playing an instrument. But the playing of the instrument is not essential altogether. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to necessarily learn. Loi, the Kulama, everybody could agree, ikashir b'keli. You have to learn. You can learn that you have to play a musical instrument. What's the shaila? As I said a moment ago, the flute that Moshe Rabbeinu made had to be made out of wood. Now we're learning from the flute of Moshe Rabbeinu. So do we say that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's flute was wood? Man the Machshir says Donan Efshir, that even though other instruments and other kalim can be made out of metal, still, and Moshe Rabbeinu's instrument was EF, so couldn't be made out of metal, we say that doesn't make a difference. Even the keli that could be made out of metal, if I'm learning from the keli of Moshe, because we're learning ikashera b'keli, so they had to have this instrument, and it was made out of wood. So even if you'll have another instrument that doesn't have to be made out of wood, if it was made out of wood, it's fine. Man the puzzle, the man d'amar that says you can't have a keli made out of wood, you have to have instruments, ikashera b'keli. But when, so Moshe Rabbeinu's flute was indeed made out of wood because there was no option. But another instrument that doesn't have to be made out of wood isn't made out of wood. It should be made out of metal. V'bayisema, or we could explain the machlokes, the kul alma ikashir bepeh. Everybody agrees that to be mekayim the mitzvah of shira, you don't need to have an instrument. You could do it from just with singing. And therefore, the instrument that Moshe Rabbeinu had, which was made out of wood, doesn't make a difference. And ain't done it, Misha Efsha. You don't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's instrument. Moshe Rabbeinu's instrument couldn't be made out of metal. Something that could be made out of metal should be made out of metal. For Hocha, the question that we're learning is, how do we learn the pasuk that the Torah speaks about by the menorah? The menorah, the Torah says, was made out of gold. V'sisa menorah zov tohar, miksha tasa menorah. It had to be made out of gold. And before we go further, there are psukim in the Torah that if we look at the psukim, the way the psukim are constructed, they actually sound, the pasuk tells us a general rule, and then it tells us a detail, and then it tells us a general rule. When you have this type of a pasuk, there are two ways that such a pasuk could be understood, as those who say the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel of the Shlosh Esri Midos every morning. It could be understood as a klal aplart, a klal, or it could be understood as a ribu miyit ribui. And there's a very big difference in how to understand those psukim. If it's understood as a ribu miyit ribui, then the way to understand it is that the Torah is coming to teach us that there's a ribui, the Torah tells us a rule, then the Torah, there's a klal, the Torah tells us a rule, and prat, ein b'chlal el masha b'frat. The prat is extremely limiting. On the other hand, if we learn it with a ribui miyat ribui, it's not as limiting as we learn a klal, prat, a klal. And the Gemara explains this. Rabbi Darush, Rabbi explains it, klal a prat. Vasisa menorah klal, Zov tar is that's a general rule. Then it says a detail that zov tar it has to be made out of gold. The miksha tasa menorah is a klal, chazva klal, and he explains that wherever we have a klal prat a klal, we have to dar elkein a prat. Ma prat mefurish shal matches it had to be made out of metal. Af kol anything any klisharis has to be made out of matches. And that's the way Rebbe says that all the instruments, all the klisharos had to be made out of matches. Rebbe Yosef Ben Yehuda Dorish, Ribi Miyutai. Vaisa Menorah Riba, Zov Tor Miyut, Mikshat Hasa Menorah Chazva Riba, Riba Miyut Riba, Riba Akol. It's really going to include everything. My Rebbe, it comes to say that any type of material may be used for a klisharos. My Miyut, only thing that's being excluded is Shal Cheretz. So in our Gemara, we've given three possible explanations between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosei, Rebbe Yehuda, about a klisharos that's made out of wood. One is that everybody agrees ikashir b'keli, and the question is if don efshir mishi efshir. Another way of learning is ikashira b'peh, and therefore, the machlokes is, do we learn a prat or klal, or do we learn a ribui miyut? If we learn a prat or plat, we can never use a wood, any keli not made out of metal. And the third way of learning is that ikasheli b'kulim, and everybody ain't done efshir mish efshir. And the question is, if any keli can be made out of another material besides metal. So Al Gemara has had a discussion, how is ikashira? Is ikashira b'keli, or is ikashira b'peh? The question that comes up The halacha is, the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, b'shir lo yesh deyayin. Because zeich lechurban, we're not allowed to sing when we drink wine. The Rambam says, the Rambam differentiates between kli shir and shir b'per, that Rambam holds, playing an instrument is usur even when you don't drink wine, and shir b'per is only usur when you're drinking wine. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam that differentiates between shir b'per and shir b'kli, and the Magen Avraham and all the Nisei Kalim try to understand what does the Shulchan Aruch mean to say. And many of them want to suggest that what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, Rav Moshe was very famous to speak about this, that he held that any instrument is usur. That doesn't have to have wine. When you drink wine, so then you're not allowed to even sing. So according to Rav Moshe, what would be the halacha? According to Rav Moshe, certainly you would not be allowed to hear live music unless it's a Suda mitzvah. And the question that comes up, if are you allowed to listen to music, instruments that was recorded, Rav Moshe wasn't so confident about listening to music, comfortable about listening to music, even if it's recorded, if it's from instruments. But most Paiskim are makel, and they take the position that we could be lenient, and that if it's taped, even though it's live music, we could listen to it. Even if you're machmer, like the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, that live, the instrument music, you're never allowed to listen. And then the Mashag in Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Chav Hei, and the Chelkis Yoyev in Chelik Aleph Simen Samach Beis, and the Shalos Tshuvos Lahiris Noson Chelik Dalet Simen Nun Mem Vav, all add another dimension. They say we live in times that people are very stressed, and they need to listen to music just to calm them down, not to be so stressed out. And that's why we maybe could take a more lenient approach. The Shalos Tshuvos Oz Nidbru, Chelik Ches Simen Nun Ches, doesn't agree with our leniency, and he says he doesn't understand how one can listen to not only live music when it's not a Sudas Mitzvah, but even taped instrumental music. He doesn't understand how we can listen because of the concern of Zeich L'Chorban.